Lord Jesus, this morning we open to you.
Amen.
We do need you, Lord.
Amen.
We depend on you.
Yes,
we pray that you would speak this morning.
Amen.
We need your speaking.
Amen.
We go on by your speaking.
Amen.
We praise you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
We commit this time to you.
Amen.
Pray in your precious name.
Amen.
Amen. So now we come to Romans chapter 16. This chapter is not an easy one to read. When I was young, I would skip over this chapter. Lots of names, some of them I can't pronounce. But it is such a precious chapter, because it shows us the practicality of the church life. So, actually, in the book of Romans, we have four stations in the matters covered in the book of Romans. Chapters 1 to 4 bring us in chapter 4 to the first station, which is justification. Then chapters 5 through 8 bring us in chapter 8 to the second station, which is sanctification. Then chapters 9 through 12 lead us in chapter 12 to the third station, the station of the body of Christ. And finally, chapters 14 to 16 take us in chapter 16 to the fourth station, the station of the local churches expressed in localities. So this is the book of Romans. Actually, the churches are the ultimate consummation of the complete salvation of God. The churches are where we can express the Lord. I enjoy so much the Lord's table this morning. I believe the Lord was expressed in the praises of the saints. How we appreciate there is such a place as a church where we can praise Him. So, as we come to this portion, we need to see the practicality of the church. First of all, in this portion, we see a number of greetings. Many greetings. And it makes you wonder. Paul was never in Rome. How come he knew this many people? Not only he knew them, but he was able to mention something about each one. And what he mentioned wasn't so light, was meaningful. Well, I believe we in the United States, being a federal country, are not used to what happens in countries that are not set up under the federal ruling. I belong to the country of Chile, South America, and over there many times people have to go to the capital to take care of things with the ministry of this and the ministry of that. Therefore, there was a lot of traveling to the capital. Rome was the capital of the Roman Empire. And I would imagine that people had to travel there for business or many other things. So that would be the reason why Paul knew so many people without having ever been to Rome. But the point is, not only he knew so many people, but actually he cared for so many people. You could tell this from the way he expressed himself. So we can say this was, Romans 16 was a fellowship of concern. Paul was very concerned for all the saints, and Paul took the lead in this fellowship of concern. He was really immersed in this fellowship of concern. So, I believe that all of us have appreciated much the book of Romans now that we're coming to the end. And I'm sure we appreciate very much chapter 6, chapter 8, chapter 12. But what about chapter 16? We need to put chapter 16 together with these other three. Now the thing is that it is easier for us to see in Romans 6 as well as Romans 8, they reveal to us the Christian life. And Romans 12 reveals to us the church life. But now in Romans 16 reveals to us the practical church life. So we shouldn't think of Romans 16 as just a series of greetings. This is a chapter that covers the practical church life. Okay, so as we come to this chapter, we could cover it in different ways. For instance, we could cover it concerning the sisters, we could cover it concerning the brothers, and we could cover it concerning the church. The church is mentioned 5 times in this chapter. I feel to cover this chapter from the side of the sisters. Oh, we're going to say sisters, why? Well, I hope we can see how important the sisters are in the practical church life. The church life depends on the sisters, first of all. Why do I say this? Well, first of all, and of course, we did not have the first part of chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, but really they're an integral part of the whole chapter. So I start from verse 1 and 2. And in verses 1 and 2, you will see a recommendation from Paul. A very special recommendation. Now, normally, if you write a letter, you would place a recommendation at the end. If you put it at the beginning, the one who reads might forget. So you put it at the end. But no, Paul decided to give it preference. Besides, after he recommended a sister, Paul greeted a couple, but when he greeted this couple, he mentioned the sister's name first. So then in verse 6, Paul greeted Mary, one who had labored much in the Lord. And in verse 12, he greeted Persis, who also had labored much in the Lord. Of course, in this portion, he greeted a number of brothers, but I'm just approaching it from the side of the sisters. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, Paul issued his recommendation and his greetings in this order with the purpose of showing us that the sisters occupy a very important part in the practical church life. But I asked the brothers not to get impatient, just to wait and see. If we read carefully this portion, we will see that in this portion there are these four sisters, and what they cover covers actually what their service covers actually the whole church life. So Phoebe, the first one, is a serving one. She's a deaconess. The word deaconess is a translation into English of the Greek word which means serving one, and it's a feminine of deacon. So Phoebe represents a spirit of service. She was a serving one. In the practical church life, the most important thing is not doctrine. Yes, we need to know the truth. But what is most important is service. You know, if there's a lack in the service in the church, it becomes very evident. Plus, the fact is that if there's a lack in the service in the church, there is a lack in the commitment of the saints. You know, one time, traveling in one of the streets of Anaheim, there was this big poster from the Marines. And the poster said, "We don't need you to register. We need you to be committed." I was really impressed by that. What we need is commitment. And if there's no commitment, surely it will be evidence in the service in the church. So then this brings us to verses 1 and 2. "I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is the deaconess of the church which is in Cenchrea, that you receive her in the Lord as in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever matter she may have need of you. For," here's the point, "she herself has also been the patroness of many, of myself as well." So here Paul adds to the word deaconess the word patroness. Now this word patroness means someone who takes care of everything you need. That someone that helps, sustains, supplies. So we see that Phoebe was held in high esteem. Perhaps the only comparison that could be made is that of the best nurse in a hospital. That could be compared to a Roman patroness. I must say, when I was in the hospital 2 weeks ago, I have never rang the bell to call the nurse. But it was 2 in the morning, and the antibiotic that was given to me intravenously ended. And the machine was beeping in a very, very loud way. So after much consideration, I pressed the button. I was impressed. The nurse came running and said, "Did you call me?" Of course, she took care of my need, and I was able to go to sleep. So this could be some weak comparison with what a Roman patroness is. Phoebe would be supplying any shortage, carrying any burden, taking care of any problem. That is meeting every need. So this is the picture we see here. So then in verse 2, Paul asks the saints in Rome to take care of her like she deserved with her important service. So I must say, in the church life, there is a need. What is the need? The need is that sisters may be trained to be the nurses in the church. You may say, now wait a minute. The church is not a hospital. It's not a hospital. It's a place of refuge. It's a place where saints can come and get the help. I have to say again, I've said it before, but I'm so thankful for the prayers of the saints in the church. That's why I'm standing here today. So how crucial that there will be the adequate service. I don't know. Probably the sisters here don't like to be considered nurses, except the ones that are nurses already. But for that, the sisters need to be trained. The brothers are the doctors, sisters are nurses, and some brothers will be nurses too. So we need to realize this is what the church should be. We must consider ourselves as serving ones, serving the Lord in the church, taking care of others like the nurses in a hospital. So we see such a great recommendation that Paul made of Sister Phoebe. So it is implied here that in every local church, we need to have Phoebes. We need to have Phoebes who will be able to take care of the needs in the church. So we thank the Lord that there is such a picture, and I hope the sisters can be impressed by this. In Paul's recommendation, almost in an imperceptible way, we see the first point regarding the church life, the practical church life. We see the spirit of service implicit. First, the sisters might be trained so they can be the nurses in the church life. The second vital aspect of Paul's recommendation of Sister Phoebe is that she was 100% for the church life. In verse 1, she's the deaconess of the church, which is in Cenchrea. Paul doesn't say she's a deaconess who lives in Cenchrea, but a deaconess of the church, which is in Cenchrea. So her service was restricted to the church, not to any other place. How we need to have also this spirit of being 100% for the church. Actually, it is worthwhile. We in the church don't have to bother about people asking for offerings. We don't have to bother about having a position. All of us have no position. But we need to be concerned with a matter of service in the church. When we serve in the church, this is valuable in the sight of the Lord. What we do outside the church is not valuable in the sight of the Lord as this is. So then that brings us to verse 3. In verse 3, we have another sister and a brother. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Prisca can also be translated Priscilla. As I mentioned before, it is very unusual that Paul mentions the wife before the husband. If you check the Bible, you will find out that the normal way a couple is mentioned, the name of the husband is mentioned, and then the wife. But here is the other way around. What does this mean? In the context of chapter 16, I believe this means that Prisca was more involved and more concerned for the service in the church than Aquila. So we see here someone who was taking the lead in the matter of service in the church. Now you would say, wait a minute. Sisters cannot take the lead. Yes, but in the matter of service in the practical church life, the sisters should take the lead. This is very important. And actually, this couple, Prisca and Aquila, were very special. Verse 4 tells us that they risked their lives for Paul and the churches. And verse 5 tells us that the church met in their home. And when they were in Ephesus, the church also met in their home in 1 Corinthians 16:19. So this is a very special couple. So the point is, if in a family, say husband, wife, children, if in a family the wife takes the lead concerning service in the practical church life, it is very easy for the children to come into the church life, for the whole family to come into the church life. But if it is the other way around, if it is a husband who takes the lead in the matter of service, in any matter in the local church life, it is hard for the children to be really committed to the church life. And not only that, but there is frustration. I wouldn't say that the sisters are negative. I wouldn't say that. But it's so easy for sisters not to be hot and not to be cold, to be like the church in Laodicea. And the husband comes and looks at his watch and say, "Dear, it's time to go to the meeting." And she will say, "Well, you know, I have to do this and that and the other today. Maybe I'll come next time." How do you think the husband will be? You think he'll be rejoicing? He'll be frustrated. So we need to see in the church life how important it is for the sisters to take the lead in the matter of the service in the church life. And we still have to get on into the matter of service. There's many points about that. I would like to give a testimony concerning my wife. I hope she will not get proud. But she's a help to me in this matter. In two aspects. First of all, in the matter of prayer. As we drive to the many doctor's appointments I have to take, the moment we get into the highway, she starts to pray. And I have to let go all the things I'm considering that I have to do that day. And what a distraction it is that I have to go to the doctor all the time. So I have to follow her in prayer. So we have a time of prayer. The other service, which my wife loves and makes me very happy, is to invite on the Lord's Day. You know, initially, when we were just married, I thought, this is something I should do. And then I thought, we'll invite this one and that one. And then I had to look for my wife to see how she felt. And it never worked out. But now I know she invites and I rejoice. Praise the Lord. So, how we need the sisters to be involved in the church life. Of course, they shouldn't take the lead in matters such as teaching, such as administrative duties, or such as leading the church on. But yes, in the matter of service, they need to take the lead so that the families can really be involved in the church life. So, brothers, you tell me, if your wife does not take the lead in the service, in the church life, aren't you frustrated? Surely you are. So, how important this is. So, brothers, forgive me for encouraging the sisters to be bold and take the lead in the matter of service in the church life. Because actually it is even for our own benefit as husbands that the sisters could take the lead in this matter. So in every local church there's a need that there will be a group of brave sisters that take the lead as far as the practical church life. Because in this era, there are not that many families that do this. Just to mention one example, with the English-speaking saints, there's a great need for homes to be opened up so we can have more home meetings. So there is this need. So we need to have these sisters. Then, as I mentioned in verse 6, greet Mary, one who has labored much for us. Then in verse 12, says, greet Tryphena and Tryphosa who labored in the Lord. Greet Persis, the beloved sister, one who has labored much in the Lord. So laboring in the church life is a service in the church life. The matters of serving others also specifically include the matter of praying. This is a key point where the sisters should be involved, where the sisters can meet that need. The sisters, when they know there's a problem, No need to talk about it. Just pray. And the Lord will have a way. So we see as an example Acts 12. You know, I was really shocked when I read verse 12 of chapter 12, because having read verse 5 says, "So then Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer was made fervently by the church to God concerning him." Verse 5 tells us the church was praying. But when we come to verse 12, where when an angel released Peter from brothers to report what had happened, and when he became aware of this, in other words, when he came to himself, realizing what has happened, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was surnamed Mark. He went to a sister's house, where there was a considerable number assembled together and praying. What I was shocked is that I thought the verse said that the church was praying, but it just says a considerable number assembled together and praying. Of course, since it's a considerable number, I doubt they were all sisters. However, the meeting was in a sister's house. We don't know about this sister. There's no husband mentioned. Probably she was a widow. And actually, the widows in those days dedicated themselves to pray. I don't have time to give you an example, but we see how important the matter of prayer is, how God answered the prayer of those in the house of Mary. So when sisters become aware there's a need, the best thing to do is to pray in groups of 2 or 3 or 5 or 8 or 10, doesn't matter, but get together to pray. So these examples encourages me to serve the Lord in the church for the rest of my life. So as we have this example, we need to see that the sisters would really pick up the burden to pray. Some years ago, several co-workers became sick. And about that time, a number of critical sisters passed away. Like with us, Timothy Hung's mother, there was a number. And Benjamin mentioned it's because of the lack of their prayers that this has happened. Well, whether that happened for that reason or not, but how important the prayers of the sisters are. As I was in the training in Anaheim, you know, I take a water pill, so I have to go to the bathroom often. I'm rushing to the bathroom, and a brother stopped me. He said, "I won't take long. I know you going to the bathroom, but I want you to say hello to this sister." I turned around and I saw this sister all bent up with a walker, and yet I knew very clearly that sister is a prayer warrior. And I was so thankful that the brother stopped me. I consider that an honor. We need more sisters to be prayer warriors. This is what we need. But not everything is positive. Here we come to some negative verses in Romans 16, 17 to 19. Now I exhort you, brothers, to mark those who make divisions and causes of stumbling contrary to the teaching which you have learned, and turn away from them. For such men do not serve the Lord Christ, but their own stomach, and through smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For the report of your obedience has reached to all. Therefore I rejoice over you, but I want you to be wise as to what is good and guileless as to what is evil. The point here is somebody speaking contrary to the teaching which you have received. So for that we need to be watchful. But then the point is, okay, so what is the teaching we have received? Well, we can say that the teaching we have in the book of Romans is what we have received. And any teaching that's against the teaching of Romans, we should avoid. So we need to see how to discern this. You know, it's quite impressive that in chapter 14, Paul is so enlarged, so broad. He could take care of people with different practice, with different knowledge. He talks about those who eat this thing, those who eat that thing, those who celebrate this day, and those who celebrate that day. You know, he was really enlarged. I don't know how easy it would be for us to take someone who celebrates Saturday. Doesn't come on the Lord's Day, but is looking for a meeting on Saturday. Or some other practice also. It would be difficult for us. But Paul had no problem. He told the saints in Rome to receive such a one because God has received him. But now here, it's a different story. Where to mark those and turn away from them. So we need to be in the alert so the church life is no damage. How could we discern what teaching is not right? Well, that's what we will go over for a little bit. For instance, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, I guess I didn't put that in the list. Acts chapter 2, 42. It tells us about the early church in Jerusalem after Pentecost. It says they continued steadfastly in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles, in the breaking of bread and the prayers. Here we see they continued in four things. They continued in the teaching and the fellowship of the apostles. Here teaching and fellowship are joined by the word and it is of the apostles. Whereas the breaking of bread and the prayers is not of the apostles. This means that we should not teach what is not the teaching of the apostles. So we need to see What is the right teaching? So this brings us to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, where Paul tells Timothy, he told him to remain in Ephesus in order that you might charge certain ones not to teach different things. So what were the different things? The issue is not the myths, the unending genealogies, and in verse 7, the law, but they were teaching something that was contrary to God's economy, which is in faith. As we know, God's economy refers to the household administration. In the church lives is an administration of God. And that administration is what? That administration is to dispense God. God wants to dispense himself into us. But this dispensing is in faith. So we need to see that what is not of faith here is wrong teaching. Finally, we come to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. If anyone teaches different things and does not consent to healthy words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching which is according to godliness, he is blinded with pride, understanding nothing, but is diseased with questionings, contentions, or words out of which come envy, strife, slanders, evil, suspicion. So here we see that the important thing is the healthy words. Healthy words means living words. John 6:63, the Lord said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." Amen. So the teaching we need is the teaching that will be spirit and will be life, and that will produce godliness, that will be an expression of God. So then that will bring us to the end. But before we finish, I want to make a test of the sisters, whether they got the word or not. Let's say a sister discovers a dear sister is depressed in the hospital. So she gets her friends together and says, "Let's get together and see what we can do, how we can help this situation. This is desperate." Sisters, just answer yes or no. Which should you do? Is it yes or is it no? A little louder? Kind of weak. The same situation, and a sister gets two or three sisters together. "Let's pray that the Lord could take care of our sister." Is that the real service?
Yes.
Ah, that was better. So now we come to the end. And this last three verses are so precious. To me, they're like a rhapsody, like a harmony. How about if we read these three verses with an exercise spirit? Verses 25 through 27, all together. "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel, that is the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept in silence in the times of the ages, but has now been manifested, and through the prophetic writings according to the command of the eternal God, as he made known to all the Gentiles for the obedience of faith, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's read the last verse again. To the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, as we come to the end of the book of Romans, there's only one thing left to be covered, and that is to be established, which is in verse 25. To him who is able to establish you. Every other aspect of salvation has been covered. So, praise the Lord, we can be established. Amen. How can we be established? By turning to the Lord, by experiencing the Lord, by spending time with the Lord. Amen. This is really what is needed. Amen. So we thank the Lord that the full salvation is covered in the book of Romans. How we thank the Lord for all the time we have spent in this chapter. Amen.
Well, we have a few announcements. We'd like to know if anyone is here for the first time, if they could stand up and introduce themselves. We'd like to greet you. Welcome to the meeting of the Church in New York City. Amen. If you're here for the first time, amen. Yeah. Maybe you can introduce yourselves. You want to? Yeah.
My name is Jose.
Amen. Amen. Jose from Bolivia. Amen. Very good. And
I am Saul Gerardo Martin Leiva.
Uh-huh.
I am from Lisbon.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
I'm Chu from Montreal.
Amen.
Church of
Montreal. Amen. Amen.
Richard, Church of Wilmington.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Marcio, I'm leaving Delaware, but I'm going back to Brazil next month.
Okay. Amen.
So I'm Mike Brown from the Church of Wilmington, Delaware.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome. We have a couple of announcements before we will sing hymn 839 for the a transition to the prophesying in different languages. The first announcement is related to our sister Elena Wilkinson. She passed away Tuesday night late. That's Arnold's wife, Arnold and Elena. And we will have the funeral. Friday night at Stutzman from 5 to 9 will be the viewing, where we can go and greet the family. And then Saturday morning from 9 to 9:30 will also be a viewing. And then at 9:30 we'll have the funeral meeting for our sister Elena at Stutzman Funeral Home. We just want to let the saints know. We found out after the prayer meeting Tuesday night. The second announcement is related to the Summer School of Truth. Praise the Lord for the Summer School of Truth. The saints from different localities will go down to New Jersey this Monday for the first week, and then they will come back to New York the following week for hospitality. We are still short many spaces for hospitality. This week we did read about Gaius, who was a host to the church and to Paul and to many saints. Hospitality is a marvelous service. We hope that not just the sisters, but anyway, the sisters can take the lead to open their house and give hospitality. There will be a sign-up sheet. I understand they're going to put one up here. Is that right? Yeah, we'll have one up here at the end of the meeting, and there's also one on the service counter. So if you have... Now, we just want to describe to some, if you've never given hospitality, we're not asking you to have a private room with a bath for these young people. We're asking you to have some space on a floor somewhere or some, you know... They bring their sleeping bags. You just need a little space for them and provide a breakfast for them and a sack lunch. And then we will feed them dinner throughout all the week. And that will be from Monday night through Friday night, and then Saturday is the end. They will go back to their locality. So if you have any questions, you can see Andrew or myself, one of the serving ones, and we can help you. But we would like to encourage you to enjoy the blessing of hospitality.
Amen.
Actually, I feel like we get more blessed when we have the saints in our home than they get, you know, a simple breakfast. Let's sing hymn 839, and then the saints can go to the different language groups, and we will have our prophesying time here.